The following program is sponsored by Protecting Your Retirement.
Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wheels, and we're here every Saturday helping you navigate a successful retirement journey. We appreciate you spending it with us. Hi, Don, how are you?
I am fine. Feeling good, and I think my cold is on the final
retreat.
It's been a long one, and it wasn't even that flu. So
yeah, it's anyway, just been knocking people out left
and right.
I
thought about maybe fly to Arizona or somewhere, you know, for
with the
Royals. Couple of days. Yeah. I don't even know when it starts. Pretty soon.
Oh, yeah, it's going on now.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I missed out on that. Anyhow, we are here this morning, and we've got a couple not really long topics that we'd like to talk about. And these topics will be treated in a little more detail on our website. And also, if you provide us your email address and you want to have regular articles that are only one or two pages long sent to you about financial topics, about IRAs, about filing for Social Security, about different types of annuities or how to get the kids off the payroll, you know, articles of that nature, things similar to what we talk about on the radio show, you can do that. You just call our office at 913-648-2700. You don't have to be one of our clients, but if you'll give us your email address, we'll add you to a list and you'll get items about two a month. And if you ever want to unsubscribe, that's real easy too. So it's something we offer to the public. You know, it really doesn't cost us any more to send out to 10,000 people than 1,000.
Just a click of a button.
Yeah, we have a service that does it for us, and the longer the list doesn't run up our bill, and we're not going to say, well, Joe didn't read what we sent him, so we're going to drop him. And by the way, we do get a report each month showing which emails actually opened and looked at the article. And sometimes I can recognize who it is from the email address, very rarely, because people are really creative. It's almost like reading the vanity license plate and
trying to figure out what it means. It says, yeah.
But anyhow, so sometimes I see that certain clients have opened 50 or 60 different emails we've sent, and I think, well, they're really interested in what we're saying. Either that or they spend a lot of time on a computer.
Well, and it's a good way to get a little bit more information because
right.
what we do on this program goes really fast. And sometimes it's nice to have the article so you can sit down and reread it and kind of digest what it's saying a little bit easier than what we do here on the radio. We throw a lot of information, but that website is protectingyourretirement.com.
That's also the way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to talk about first is IRA distributions, individual retirement account distributions. How are they taxed? A lot of people understand full well that when you make a contribution to your IRA, you're putting money in, that you get a tax write-off for making that contribution. If your income is higher, then you might not be getting a tax write-off, but some people contribute to a traditional IRA anyhow and just forego the write-off. And then they establish what we call basis in their IRA. It's like as if they bought some other type of investment, and then when they sell it or take the money out, they only pay tax on the gain portion. But that's a very complex calculation. It takes about three more pages on each year's tax return if you do that.
Lots of people are probably doing their taxes right about now,
they
too.
They are. And so anyway, what we want to talk about is the far end of an IRA. When you're taking money out, how is it taxed? And in the 1970s, IRA became one of the most popular available retirement savings vehicles. And Americans right now are holding about $2.5 trillion in individual retirement accounts. And for the most part, none of that money has been taxed yet. And in effect, most of it's gotten a tax deduction when it went in. So Uncle Sam's sitting there and looking at that $2.5 trillion. And Uncle Sam thinks, what is the average person's tax bracket times that? You know, we'd like to have it. So people between the ages of 60 and 64, pretty narrow range, have an average of $165,000 in your IRA. Now, a lot of Americans rely on that IRA for a significant part of their retirement income. It's number two behind pensions and Social Security. So the favorable tax treatment ends when you start taking money out. And when you take money out of an IRA, we're talking about traditional IRAs, or from 401ks or other retirement, what we call qualified plans, you pay tax at whatever bracket you happen to be in. It's not a capital gains tax break. So if you're in a high tax bracket, take money out of an IRA, you're going to pay a higher rate than if you are in a lower bracket. Let's break it out a little bit. Traditional IRAs, that's the first type of IRA introduced. Assuming you met income guidelines, you can make tax-deductible contributions to your traditional IRA. You have to have earned income in order to contribute to an IRA, or you have to be married to someone who has earned income enough to cover the amount that you wish to contribute. So traditional IRA was the first IRA that they came out with, and you can allocate your investments, your contributions rather, to a very wide range of investments. You can just put in a bank or credit union. You can buy an annuity. You can go to a stockbroker or brokerage account. There's a lot of things you can do with IRA money. If you want to go through a few hoops, you can actually purchase income real estate in an IRA. You have to call us if you're going to do that, and we'll explain some of the hoops. But anyhow, you don't have any taxes to pay until you take a distribution, but you cannot delay your distributions forever. Traditional IRAs, when you reach age 70 and a half years old, then you are required to withdraw a minimum amount every year, and those are called required minimum distributions, RMDs. And at age 70 and a half and older, you have to take out a little bit of your IRA every year. It starts out, you have to withdraw about 3.6%. The next year is about 3.7%. It grows every year, the percentage that you have to withdraw. And if you're age 115 or older, you have to draw out about 52% each year.
If you make it to 115.
Yeah, of what's in your IRA. And report that on your tax return, pay income tax. Mm-hmm. Now, people say, well, I'm not going to live to 115, so I won't have to take that much out and pay tax on it. That's true for most of us. We're not going to live to 115. Uncle Sam does not forget you when you die. Uncle Sam looks around, reads obituary reports or whatever, and finds out who the beneficiaries are on your IRA, because every IRA, just like any annuity or bank account, or most bank accounts, have a beneficiary. They get to pay the tax that you did not.
Mm-hmm.
So if
somebody's
told,
still going to pay.
If you told all the children, hey, Ma and Pa have been really good. You know, we've always saved money. We've done IRAs since back in 1970s when they came out. And you're each going to have $100,000 from our IRAs when we pass. You ought to also tell those offspring, don't be planning to spend that $100,000 all at once, all in one place, because it is taxable.
Mm-hmm.
They take it out in a lump sum. They're going to have a big tax bite that year. So it is taxable. It's not tax-free. It's tax-deferred. So traditional IRA, you take the money out, you put it on your tax return, whatever bracket you're in, that is how it's taxed. Now, at a later date, they have developed Roth IRA, named after the member of Congress that designed the plan and pushed it through Congress. The Roth IRA has gained popularity because you put in what we refer to as after-tax money. You do not get a tax deduction for what you put in your Roth IRA. The benefit of that is that when you take money out, it is not taxable, either to you or to your heirs. So if you have IRA money or you're contributing to an IRA and you want to really bless the heirs, the beneficiaries, you might consider a Roth IRA. You don't have the tax break up front, but you do have tax-free accumulation. What grows in the account will also never be income taxed. And when your beneficiaries inherit the IRA, they can take it out without any income tax consequence. So the Roth IRA is getting more popular. You can take traditional IRA and convert it to Roth IRA if you wish. The cost of that is at the time you convert it, you pay tax on it.
That was going to be my next question.
But we have several clients who are doing this, and they are generally clients who have retired. They're in a lower tax bracket than they used to be. Some of them are in a very low tax bracket, but they have enough to live on. And they are converting amounts of traditional IRA every year into Roth IRA, paying the tax. But later, if they need the money or if they leave it to their heirs, there will be no income tax.
Well, if you would like to come in and make an appointment to talk to Don and the team at Protecting Your Retirement, the number to call is 913-648-2700. The website, protectingyourretirement.com. We'll wrap up on these IRAs and then move on to another big question when it comes to retirement, and that's Social Security.
Yes.
That'll be coming up on Protecting Your Retirement.
Hey, honey, it looks like you missed opening this piece of mail from our financial guy.
Ugh, I thought it was your turn to open that one.
Oh, man, it looks like our mutual funds in those hot stocks he said to buy have dropped again. If this keeps up, we'll both be working all our lives. Just look at this.
Oh, and looky here. His fee is still 0.5 for the quarter. You know that's 2% a year he's charging us to mismanage our money.
That's enough. It's time to call for our appointment with Don Wales, the Protecting Your Retirement guy we hear on the radio every Saturday. His strategies are designed to keep your money safe no matter what the market does. If it's up, your money grows. But if it's down, you don't lose any. Don can also show how to have an income you can't outlive, and he doesn't charge fees.
Call Don Wales and start protecting your retirement today. 888-648-4060. That's 888-648-4060.
Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales, and we appreciate you spending part of your Saturday with us. Hopefully, we're giving you some good information. I know when it comes to retirement, the big picture can kind of get a little confusing with all the different pieces.
A little scary.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Right. You might have a 401k. Maybe you have a pension. Maybe you've got some extra money that you want to put into a Roth IRA or something like that. We're going to touch on the Social Security coming up next, but
right.
Let's kind of pick up where we left off. And I was asking you during the commercial break, do you, if you wanted to roll over your traditional IRA into a Roth IRA, do you have to be 59 and a half?
No, you can roll it over into a Roth IRA. You will be paying tax on the amount of the rollover.
But there's no penalty for
there's no penalty
taking it
out. Because you're not taking it out, really.
Oh, okay.
And any IRA, if you take money out before age 59 and a half, absent certain exceptions, then you do pay a 10% tax penalty
mm-hmm.
on the amount that you take out before age 59 and a half, including Roth. Now, if you take early money out of an IRA, and you, that means that you're less than 59 and a half years of age, you pay a 10% tax penalty on that. So that is something we have to be really careful about. I have encouraged, as each of my children became of working age and had jobs, that they open Roth IRAs. I know mm-hmm. at least one did. And they leave it alone, you know, and don't take the money out, because from age 15 or 16, when you might start work, to 59 and a half is a long period of time.
Yeah.
And so you have to leave it alone or pay that 10% penalty. But also, there's one other caveat. If you fail to take out what you are required to at age 70 and a half or older, the amount that you were supposed to take out and did not is subject to a 50% penalty.
50%.
So if you're required to take out $10,000 of required minimum distribution and you just blow it off and don't do it, mm-hmm. $5,000 of that is going to go to Uncle Sam
Ouch.
As a penalty. Yeah. And they know how old you are when you file a tax return.
Sure.
And they know how much you have in IRAs because you've told them every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the IRA custodian also tells them how much everyone has. And so, you know, there's no way to kind of slip that by. But the other topic we want to talk about today, and we'll spend a fair amount of time on it, is can you file for Social Security spousal benefits? Social Security spousal benefits are benefits that have been accrued and earned by the work history of your spouse, or even if your spouse has never worked outside the home, either in employment or self-employment, they accrue certain benefits by the value or the reward or whatever of being married to someone who does work
mm-hmm.
under Social Security. Now, if you're currently planning your retirement income strategy, you want to be able to look at income from a pension, 401k, IRA, but it's also likely that Social Security will be part of your retirement income
sure.
mix. About 90% of all retirees rely on either Social Security benefits or railroad retirement benefits, which are kind of a sister program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your Social Security benefit is based on a lot of factors, including the age at which you file for benefits, and that can be as early as age 62 or as late as age 70. Generally, the longer you wait, the higher the benefit will be. However, there will be years of time that you will not be getting any checks if you don't file earlier. So you have to weigh that. Now, your earnings during your career are an important factor. And the Social Security uses an average of your 35 highest earning years as a basis for your benefit amount. Okay? So you might have worked 40 or 45 years under Social Security. They're going to look at the highest 35,
mm-hmm.
take an average, and that goes into the formula. And some people find out that even after they start taking their Social Security benefits and they are still working and earning more than they had as a youngster, that they actually end up getting raises every once in a while. Not because Congress grants a raise or a cost of living, but maybe one of those low years drops off and gets replaced by a current year or a recent year where you made a lot of money.
I can see that, especially for working women, probably that affects the most because
it does affect them
the
more.
The years where you're home with the kids, if you decide to do that, you're probably not, maybe you're just working part time or
right.
whatever the case may be. But then you go back to work after the kids get a little older.
Right. And it raises that average,
right.
35 year average. So there are three ways that you can get benefits from Social Security based on your spouse's activity during his or her working life.
Mm-hmm.
Current spouse. This is the simplest. It's been simplified, by the way. It took away a lot of goodies, okay? But this is the simplest and the most straightforward situation. If you're currently married to someone who has a higher benefit amount, you are likely eligible to receive a spousal benefit based on their career earnings rather than your own.
Mm-hmm.
This is very frequently the wife of a husband-wife marriage, and maybe the wife has earned less because women have historically earned less or has been out of the workforce for a number of years. Now, the only criteria is that you must be at least age 62, and your spouse must already be receiving Social Security benefits. If they have not yet filed, you may be able to file for your own benefits based on your lower career earnings, but not your spousal benefit.
Mm.
So both of you have to be at least age 62 if both of you are still alive. okay, in order to get spousal benefits. Now, taking spousal benefits at a younger age means that you get a less portion of your spouse's benefit. So you have to factor in how old is each person, okay? Now, that is the current spouse drawing a spousal benefit. Former spouse, you can file for spousal benefits based on your ex-spouse's earnings. However, there are a few criteria that you must meet. Again, you must be at least 62 years old and currently unmarried. Also, your ex-spouse must be eligible for Social Security. That sounds pretty simple, but there are people who are not eligible. Okay. Now, they do not have to have already filed. This is a common misconception that divorcees, usually females, know that there's a deal where they can draw Social Security based on their former spouse's earnings, but they are confused and feel and think that the ex has to have already filed. That's not the case. We've seen cases where women reach age 62, the former husband is still working, he's 65, maybe even going on 70, they can go ahead and file on his earnings record. But the ex-spouse has to be eligible to file, doesn't mean they have to file. And by the way, when you file on an ex-spouse's career earnings, it does not take away any benefits from your former spouse. So you're not hurting their benefit check by you filing on their record.
You know, I can see that going two ways. I can see some people going, dang, I was really wanting to sock it to them, you know?
Right. That's okay. File on a military retiree's military pension. Mm. You can sock it to them.
Ooh.
But anyhow, finally, the marriage must have lasted at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you have to have been married for 10 years. You have to be at least 62 years of age. Your ex-spouse must also be 62 or somehow eligible for Social Security, maybe disabled. And it's important to note that, again, filing for spousal benefits doesn't impact your former spouse or their current spouse in any way. Now, we could carry this out a little ways. We're not going to go too far, but if somebody has more than one ex-spouse and they were married to each of them for 10 years or more, and they are eligible for Social Security, there could be three Social Security checks leaving the Social Security Administration going to this little ex-family unit.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, let's say it's a guy who's been married twice, 10 years to each one, earned more than both of his former spouses, they can both file on his earnings record as he can himself. And got a cousin that I think had four or five wives over his military career.
Unfortunately, I know a few of those types too.
So anyhow, and here's another point for the weak at heart. You don't have to communicate with them to file for the benefit, and it won't affect their ability to file. So you don't have to call them and say, hey, ex-honey, think I'm going to file on your record. Social Security, remember, you're the one that always made all the bucks and fooled around and, you know, whatever. So anyhow, that's former spouse. And then we're going to take another break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about filing for Social Security based on a former spouse's earnings records and as a parent of a disabled child. It's another way to file for Social Security benefits.
Well, I know that's probably the biggest question that I get. And that's just from random people I know, friends and family and
right.
that type of stuff. But probably the number one question, and I'm not the expert. Don is definitely the expert.
I'm not an expert on Social Security.
But, you know, you got at least you can at least point him in the right direction. How's
Joy
that?
Joy is blessed at having grayish white hair at a very, very young age. And so people call her and they ask her about retirement benefits and
maybe that's
Social
it.
Security.
Maybe
and she doesn't
it.
Look old at all, just has the white hair. And she's the expert.
Well, I don't. Yeah, definitely not the expert. I just get a lot of questions about it. Maybe that's because of the people I know. But the point being, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And if you have a question about your Social Security and how that plays into your retirement journey, the number to call is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com.
Those schoolgirl days of telling tales and biting nails are gone. If you want
Welcome back to Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales, and we appreciate you spending part of your day with us, hopefully giving you some good information. And like we were saying at the end of the last segment, it's probably the number one question when it comes, because Social Security can be so confusing.
It is. It's confusing. It's very complex. We have had experiences akin to dealing with the IRS where you can call two or three times to the government and get different answers.
Yes.
And it shouldn't happen. I prefer to actually read their documents, which are not easy to read either. But we do in the Kansas City area, when we have people with Social Security questions that are not really clear, you know, maybe a little bit different case, and we don't understand it, we refer them to one of the local offices that might not be the one nearest to where they live, but we found that the people there seem to be better trained, more friendly, more complete and thorough with their answers. And, you know, we happen to have the phone number for that local office.
Well,
someone gave us.
That's what I meant
about.
But
I'm not going to do it on the radio.
Right, right.
I don't want that office to be flooded so they can no longer provide the what we feel is excellent
service that
they do. And I'm sure
at all of the locations, they tried their hardest to give the best information.
I
think when it comes to Social Security offices, they're probably swamped. I mean,
they're
it's got to be
with
crazy.
Boomers and,
yes.
and other people coming along after that. And really, you know, my background is tax accounting. I've prepared thousands of tax returns probably. And the way that someone poses a question could cause you, if you're not really careful, to answer it incorrectly. I mean, it happens. But anyhow,
I wanted to ask you before we move on to parents of disability, if you are a spouse who an ex-spouse, let's put it that way, an ex-spouse, and you're still working, but you're at the age where you could draw on your ex-spouse's Social Security, are you still able to do that?
You can draw on your former spouse's earnings record. If you are any age, any marital status, and you are drawing Social Security at below full retirement age, generally age 66 for the boomer generation, if you are drawing Social Security benefits, you're less than age 66, then you're limited on how much money you can earn from wages or self-employment before having to give back part of your Social Security benefit. And so that is a caution that people say, well, when I get 62, I'm eligible for a lower amount of Social Security. If you're also working, then you have to be especially cautious. And generally, if you earn over about $17,000 a year, you will be giving back part of those Social Security benefits, either by taking reduced benefits in the future to pay back or having a reduction in the benefits. So
see all these moving parts.
Parts. And people think what we do with recommending fixed annuities is complex. They're simple, believe
compared
me.
Compared to Social Security.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, another topic area I want to talk about a little bit is if you and your former spouse have a child who is disabled and receiving Social Security benefits, if so, you may be eligible for spousal benefits if you are the child's primary guardian and caregiver. And that may be the case. In fact, you don't even have to be age 62 to qualify. So you can be a fairly young person. You and your former spouse have a child who is receiving Social Security disability benefits. And then if you are the primary guardian, you can receive what's called spousal benefits to help you when that is your situation. Now, there are a lot of complicated criteria. We're not even going to try to scratch the surface other than the sentence that I just read about how you may be eligible. So you need to consult with a financial professional as well as the Social Security Administration to understand that type of eligibility. It's not something just say, I heard Don and Joy talking about it on the radio, and I'm going to go down and file because I am the guardian of this child that has disabilities. Now, when you're ready to plan your Social Security strategy, talk to us, contact us at Protecting Your Retirement. We can help you analyze your needs. We can help you develop a strategy. We have a few philosophies, I guess, about when to take Social Security that are contrary to a lot of other financial professionals. A lot of the things you see on the internet or on paper where it says, here's how to calculate the best time at which to draw your Social Security. A lot of those calculators come up with results that we disagree with. Mm-hmm. We're not disagreeing with the mathematics. We're assuming they were designed by people who knew how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. But when we look at a whole picture of what type of income is available, Social Security, pension, IRAs, 401ks, rental income, continuing to work, there are some times when what we recommend about taking Social Security early is contrary to what the popular idea is. Mm-hmm. And so, and we have in black and white break-even calculators, you know, to back up what we say. And we also have the knowledge of taxation to help out in making those decisions. So we think we have an edge over our competitors in financial services that do not have as good an understanding of taxation and maybe don't look at the whole picture of a retiree or a pre-retiree as well as we will, mm-hmm, and come up with the best strategy.
And that's one of the things about coming in and making that appointment and sitting down and looking at that big picture. You can't look at a big picture on a computer screen by just punching in some numbers.
Right.
You know, you really can't. You need to sit down and find out what your goals are for your retirement and then figure out a plan to make that work. So if you want to do that and come in and talk to Don, then of course the number is 913-648-2700. He'd be happy to make that appointment with you.
Sure.
We were talking about spouses and ex-spouses and all that kind of stuff. Let's move on to long-term relationships.
Over 10 years.
But we're not talking about love. Well, some people do love their fixed index annuities and stuff, but this is a little bit different and unfortunately, a little more set in stone for some people.
Right. And, you know, we probably should have covered this a week ago, but this Valentine's Day, the Indexed Annuity Leadership Council sent us a card with a heart on it. Okay. And so the Indexed Annuity Leadership Council is a group of companies that issue annuities, agents who recommend annuities, people who study annuities, and independent or field marketing organizations that are involved in the indexed annuity field. And the article is headlined, Looking for a Long-Term Relationship, Discover How a Fixed Indexed Annuity May Be Your Answer. And we're not always, by the way, looking at how fixed indexed annuities are extra long-term. Some of them are written on rather long chassis, long surrender charge periods. Some of them are not written that way, but they can all be kept for as long as you want to keep them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whereas there are other types of annuities where at a certain age you have to either cash it in or start taking an income. So we have several bullet points. One is, in a fixed index annuity, you have 100% principal protection. With 100% principal protection, FIA, fixed index annuity, can be the key to your heart's desire, as well as a retirement portfolio with minimized risk. There is no stock market risk. Even when market volatility occurs, like the recent Dow Jones fluctuations, your principal investment remains protected. I was in a gentleman's office this week who had a touch screen on the wall hooked up to an Excel worksheet, mm-hmm. and had a comparison of a stock portfolio, which mirrored exactly the S&P 500, next to the illustration of a fixed indexed annuity. And by touching and running up and down the columns on the spreadsheet, it changed all of the ups and the downs to different years, showing that in one scenario with your stock market, if all of the lost years were at the beginning of your career and the really great years were at the end, there was a different result in your holding stocks or tracking the S&P 500. With the fixed indexed annuity, it was the same final result, and it was a positive result regardless of where the ups and downs occurred. So, and especially if you have a guaranteed lifetime income rider in the annuity, that'll always be the case. So 100% principal protection. Balance. Balance is not only important in your personal relationships, but also in your financial future. Portfolio diversification helps manage risk and rewards in the financial market. Now, more and more financial advisors are seeing using a fixed indexed annuity with a guaranteed amount of retirement income for life as a way to diversify. And when we use it as a diversification tool, what we're replacing is part of what you're putting in the bond market. People look at bonds as being safe and not volatile, but when interest rates are rising, the value of the bond declines. And so why not, instead of using bonds as a quote-unquote safe alternative to stocks, use a fixed index annuity, guaranteed lifetime income rider, so that instead of relying on bonds for the rest of your lifetime income that don't have a guarantee, the fixed index annuity has an absolute guarantee.
We're going to touch a little bit more on this. We got a few more points about why you should be looking at a long-term relationship with your fixed index annuity. That's coming up on Protecting Your Retirement. The number to call if you want to make an appointment is 913-648-2700. The website, protectingyourretirement.com.
Hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
Any good mail today?
Oh, yes. We got an invite for free dinner at that new restaurant.
Oh, what's the deal?
We gotta watch some guy in a fancy suit with a big watch tell how their plan just perfectly fits our situation. Hey, talking about retirement planning, have you called that guy with the radio show, Don Wales? He'll sit down with us in private to see how his firm can help us meet our goals.
Not yet, but I'll get right on it. I have his number here. While I'm doing that, why don't you make reservations at that new restaurant? You know, just the two of us, a little wine, a good meal, and how about you and I discuss our financial goals? We can skip the group therapy or the free dinner seminars, and we can dress up in our own best clothes.
You are so romantic.
Tired of free meal seminars that turn into endless pressure to accept one-size-fits-all solutions? Call Don Wales at Protecting Your Retirement. You can arrange a private visit where Don's team will be listening to you, helping establish your goals and help you navigate a successful retirement journey. 913-648-2700.
Thank you for joining us for Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales. And remember, if there's something you hear on the program that you want a little bit more information about, or if you want to sign up for those articles and more information about your retirement journey, the number to call is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com. We left off talking about Valentine's, well, a love, a long-term relationship love with your fixed indexed annuities.
Right.
And we talked about the principal protection and having a good balance. Let's talk about the growth potential, because I know that's that's really important for most people.
Right. Money in a traditional annuity with a fixed rate of interest, it'll only grow at that fixed rate of interest. Mm-hmm. Those are called multi-year guarantee annuities, although they're getting – I'm not saying they're getting real exciting right now, but the interest rates are rising.
Oh, nice.
In those, and we can get into the 3 and 3.5% range now without going for a really long contract. If you're interested in that, call us and we can go over that. Now, a fixed indexed annuity, on the other hand, has a interest rate that fluctuates based on the movement in a stock market index, like the S&P 500, the Dow, NASDAQ, other indexes. And so when the market index is a positive from one point to another, then you get credited part of that growth. And there are years when you might get zero growth in a fixed index annuity. There are other years when you might do pretty well. The last couple of years, we're seeing a lot of double-digit growth.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're not designed to beat out the stock market indexes, they happen to have done that recently. And because they have no down points within the – in other words, you'll get part of the upside potential, the upside growth in the market, but when the market is down, you don't lose any money.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the upside potential without the loss from market risk. So those usually grow at a much better rate than a fixed annuity. They're almost always outstrip the growth on the bonds or bank deposits.
Sure.
And so that is why fixed index annuities have become very, very positive. And if you look at the whole annuity landscape between fixed annuities, variable fixed index, all the smart money is going towards a fixed index annuity and the multi-year guarantee fixed annuities. Two more points to make on fixed index annuities. All of those can be, at your option, converted to a guaranteed lifetime income for either you or you and your spouse. And all fixed annuities have tax-deferred growth, so you are not paying any income tax on what is accumulating within that fixed index annuity until you take the money out.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll never have a 1099 saying that you have to report this amount of money on your tax return unless that is an amount of money that you did withdraw from your annuity or from an annuity that you inherited from someone. So really five major points: 100% principal protection, balance, we can use them to balance out a portfolio, growth potential, guaranteed lifetime income, and tax-deferred growth makes it, if there's anything like a sweet, comfy, lovable financial choice, might
warm,
be the fixed
fuzzy
index annuity. And guess what? You can have as many of them as you want.
Oh, nice.
So you don't have to say, I want this fixed index annuity, I'll stay with it for all of my life. If you want some variety, you can have more than one. There's no limit. And there's also, unless it's being done with an IRA or a periodic deposit, there is no limit on the amount of money you can deposit into fixed index annuities.
Talking about that, you mentioned something a little bit earlier in the program off the air as we were talking about you can put more money into your fixed indexed annuities. And somebody did that. They sent you a check, probably doing their end-of-year finances or whatever, and said, hey, put this into my annuity. And then you found that there was actually a better choice.
Yeah, we had regular clients. People contribute to their IRAs every single year. Mm-hmm. And this couple mailed me two checks, one for each of their IRAs. And they had the, in a separate piece of paper, they said, okay, put this one in this IRA annuity, fixed mm-hmm. annuity, and this one in the other one. We could have just followed their instructions without any question. But when I pulled up the files, the gentleman had two or three different IRAs in annuities and fixed annuities. One of them was less than 1 year old, and it was a bonus annuity that money added to it within the first 1 year got the bonus that he got when he opened up the contract.
Wow. Excellent. Yeah.
And so I called him up right away and I said, hey, I'm looking, and you said to put it in this numbered account. And I looked at the other one, and it's not quite a year old. If we put it in there, you can have a 10% upfront interest bonus. He says, oh, yeah, that's the one I meant. And I said, no, you didn't. But anyway.
You know, but you're always looking out for him. Always.
So, you know, Don, again, looks like a hero. Anyhow.
Well, talking about heroes, we're going to move from Valentine's to Presidents' Day. I know all these holidays are in the past, but an interesting article that you found talking about George Washington and Honest Abe Lincoln. Yeah. Would they survive in today's business world? Would they be successful?
Yeah. And George Washington was basically a farmer before he became known as general and fighter and the president and the founder of the country. He had a pretty big spread there at Mount Vernon, and I've been to the property and estate. But anyhow,
it's hard to think of him as a farmer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like not the first thing that comes to mind when you think of George Washington. But
yeah, and this is an article written by a pair of realtors, a husband and wife realtor team, and it came out because of President's Day. And the question is, would George Washington and Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer, okay, had a law practice in Springfield, Illinois. And would they, who had very impeccable reputations for honesty, make it in today's business world where, unfortunately, there's a lot of dishonesty?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not real sure about George Washington fessing up to chopping down the cherry tree.
Right.
Okay, that could be folklore. But otherwise, through Washington's lifetime, he was known as a very honest person.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was part of his success. Abe Lincoln had a law practice, and he almost went broke because he didn't like to charge people exorbitant amounts of money. And if he met with someone who was going to do a lawsuit, he would encourage them to work it out with the other party
instead of going to court.
And that meant that he didn't get paid diddly squat. Okay.
Right.
So I'm not going to say Abe Lincoln was the overall smartest and most productive lawyer of his time in Springfield, Illinois. But anyhow, so making a decision to always put your clients first, which means telling them the truth and sometimes letting the chips fall, will transform your business. May not happen overnight, but over time, you will gain a reputation for transparency and trustworthiness, and that will change your life. Several of the points made are about telling the truth and being honest is, number one, it's why you exist. If you're in business, you provide either a good or a service that's aimed at making the consumer's life easier, better, fuller, etc. In other words, it's your reason to exist, is to help other people. Telling the truth is what is in the client's best interest, and you cannot really help someone without being honest. Truth breeds trust. It's simple. When the customer knows he can expect the whole truth and nothing but the truth from you, they will trust you. And in the wake of so many business scandals, that is very important. It also helps you earn respect. So honesty, according to our authors, and we agree with it, it's a powerful magnet drawing people to your business, and it's a catalyst for personal evolution to being more successful. Well, so we think that Honest Abe and George Washington, if they did come back and held to their traditional reputations for honesty, that they would make it, and they'd make it very big in business and in the current environment.
Well, honesty is always, always the best policy.
It is.
Yeah. If you want to come in and talk with Don and the team at Protecting Your Retirement, you want to make an appointment, have a face-to-face meeting with someone you trust. You've been listening to him on the radio for 8+ years. The number
ten.
To call, 10. Are we at 10 already?
Yeah. Robert said.
Well, the number to call is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com. That wraps it up for us. We appreciate you spending your day with us. We will see you next week on Protecting Your Retirement.
The preceding program was sponsored by Protecting Your Retirement.